Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Okay, here's a scenario. A few kids from local high school, members of the football team, get caught drinking alcohol. It's off campus, after school hours, and no one was injured. But of course, they're minors, they're breaking the law. What should the school do? Suspend them? Kick them off the team? Leave it to the cops? This, of course, is no hypothetical. It happens all the time in towns across the country. Well, this week, a New Jersey appeals court said that one school district went too far when it banned students from sports after they'd been caught drinking. But the court also said that the school could have acted had one of the students been put in harm's way. The case involving the Ramapo Indian Hills Regional School Board has opened up a flood of debate about the role of schools, coaches, law enforcement, and parents in disciplining kids. Nancy Solomon, managing editor of New Jersey Public Radio, is here. She's reported on this debate for a few years and has been tracking this latest ruling. Hey, Nancy.
Hi, Brian.
And listeners, are you following this in your New Jersey town or anywhere else? 212-433-WNYC. Should students be kicked off the team if they are found drinking, simply drinking, or breaking any law, but not bullying other kids? 212-433-9692. And Nancy, I guess we should say there are really two rulings here. One that says the school went too far in disciplining the kids, and the other that established this exception for instances where a kid is put in harm's way.
Right, and that exception is really key because we have in New Jersey a new anti-bullying law, and that requires schools to intervene and report and investigate any accusation that a child is being bullied or being threatened. So the court had to be very careful about what schools can and can't do around protecting, that it is their job to protect the safety of children in their schools, and even if that safety is harmed outside of school, but it isn't their job to legislate behavior beyond those bounds.
So bullying aside, the court said that the board had failed to make a direct connection between students' outside actions and the operation of the school. It's what it called a critical nexus required in defining the scope of a district's powers.
Right, exactly. So, you know, going out and drinking, it does not impact the order or the safety of the processes that go on at school. You know, I think, you know, where the line is going to constantly move is what if the kids are drinking in the stands of the public park that happens to be the stadium where the school holds its football games?
But didn't these kids sign a consent form when joining a sports team, that if they're caught drinking or using drugs under any circumstances, even far from school or over the weekend, they can get kicked off?
Right, but the parents of the girl who was at the center of this case in Ramapo argued that that form and that regulation exceeded the school's that it violated their right to privacy. It violated their right to nurture and punish their child in any way they see fit.
Did the parents also sign the form? Do you happen to know?
There was a form that came back to them after the incident in which they were asked to sign, and it was basically their consent that she was going to be removed from extracurricular activities. Huh. And that was how the case began, as they said, no, we're not signing this, and they got a lawyer.
Listeners, what do you think? Where should the line be? 212-433-WNYC. Carrie in Manasquan, you're on the air. Hi, Carrie.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What are you thinking?
Well, we have a policy in our school district that's called the Student in Good Standing Policy. And it, I don't know, they initiated it after another school's policy, but I know of an instance where a student was charged with, and it wasn't even actually underage drinking, although that was going on, and the student was suspended from extracurricular activities and had to be reinstated by the school policy is such that they have to get recommendations from three teachers, they have to do community service. And ultimately, because of the courts, because he was a juvenile, and so I had to go to the county, then the charges were all dropped after the school year was over. So here is a kid only charged. He hasn't been proven guilty of anything, but yet he gets penalized for doing something, and then the charges were dropped.
And the only charge was underage possession of alcohol?
That wasn't even one of the charges, believe it or not. He was charged with, when it went to the county, they did add that. But there were a couple other additional charges that I'd rather not say.
Okay. Nancy?
Well, one of the other lawsuits that also is involved in this this ruling was a policy in Haddonfield, which is a suburb of Philadelphia. And in that case, the lawyer for the family argued exactly what the caller is bringing up, that this was a violation of the student's constitutional right to due process, that the punishment was being meted out before there had been any trial. There wasn't any trial. It was the police say they broke up, they went to this party, they reported to the school, and then the student is punished without there being any due process. And in the case of the Haddonfield policy, in addition to being removed from extracurricular activities, students also had to perform community service, which, is a punishment.
Which Carrie described, too. Esther in Montague, you're on WNYC. Hi, Esther.
Hello. All right. Well, I myself was a student athlete only for a year, and I'm a junior at UMass. I'm only 19 still, but I think it's important that students should
you're not only 19, you're 19.
Yes.
But you think the students should be benched and reprimanded for their drinking?
Yes, I do. I mean, when I was an athlete, I only did it for a year, but they emphasized how important your image was, not only to your sport and to your team, but to your school. And it's an image that you have to maintain. I mean, I sat through an entire lecture based just off of tweets, and what you say on the internet gets all of this attention and this hype. And you think to yourself, well, that's just something I said. It's not illegal. For something like underage drinking, this is something that's serious. This is something that can affect your record. It can affect your performance, especially if you happen to do it maybe the day before a heavy match or a heavy meet. And it's, like I said, it's an image to your school. If your school isn't going to reprimand it just because they want you to play, just because you're a star athlete, that brings a bad reputation to the school because they're placing their sports above the credibility of upholding the law.
Boy, and that gets us into Penn State and everything else, where the sports are held so above accountability and, other ideas of discipline and proper behavior around a school that they're given exceptions. And in a way, the court sided with that idea.
Yeah, and the school boards, the various boards that have been involved in this have made the argument that participating in extracurricular activities, being a member of a team sport, is a privilege. It's not a right. The kids aren't being suspended from school. They're still getting an education. And they've been arguing all along that this is within their realm and it's a privilege, and that they should be legislating behavior of the folks who represent their team, the kids who represent their team. Another thing I'd like to add is that I spoke to students when I did reporting on this story down in Haddonfield. And a lot of students said, they didn't like the policy, but they thought it was effective, that it, when they were on a team, it really did stop them from going to drinking parties because they were afraid of getting kicked off.
And Esther, thank you very much for your call. Please call us again. But this goes further than just drinking, right? If you get caught breaking the law at all, if I understand the court's ruling, and that could be drug possession, maybe that could be armed robbery, I don't know, that if it's off campus – it doesn't have anything to do with the high school's jurisdiction over you, and so they can't suspend you from the team?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I think, again, there is going to be this gray line around what exactly the infraction was and whether there is that critical nexus between school order and safety.
Sometimes students will get suspended if they commit a violent crime, let's say. They'll get suspended from the whole school, never mind the team.
Right.
Then they'd get kicked off the team. One more. Vince in Rumford, a former teacher. Hi, Vince.
Hey, Brian. How you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
Yep.
Yeah, I just, you know, a former teacher, and, you know, I see this. I've seen this kind of stuff with drinking and with other activities and stuff like that, where students are immediately left off the hook because of the fact that the parents believe that this is an entitlement to be on extracurricular activities and sports specifically. I think that we've set a very dangerous precedent in our society where that's the kind, you know, that's the accepted norm, that, hey, my kid's got a right to play no matter what. And I think it's dangerous when, you know, schools, public schools especially, are the student athletes are ambassadors for their school. And when they go out there and they perform on the field, if they have this baggage coming in with them, that's a negative view of the student themselves and of the institution that they represent. I think your caller before, who was an interscholastic athlete, made a very good,
right.
a very
well,
good point about this.
Chess team members drink too.
Right. And
absolutely. But, you know, not only the thing is that they shouldn't be playing chess, tennis on the stage, performing in front of people if there is something like this. I mean, kids broke the law, right?
It's such a privileged thing being on a team that it should be held apart from other kinds of punishment. The last two callers have said that. I want to get one more different point of view in. Sandra in Queens, something happened to you along these lines, right?
Yes, I drank a lot when I was in school, in high school, but I was also in the band, and it kept me busy. If I was suspended, that time that I was using, I would have drank more if I didn't have the opportunity to go to band. I mean, that kept me focused, and it actually was a catalyst that sent me to college. Now I'm a professional. So I don't think taking away all the activities that they have to do something good is going to help kids move forward if you now brand them.
Yeah, and there's a whole debate going on about the connection between school discipline and the way kids are disciplined and suspended for bad behavior and school achievement, because it really is counterproductive when you pull kids out of programs that are good for them, whether it's an extracurricular program or suspension from school because of bad behavior. So I think there is a growing recognition that the whole way we approach school discipline really has to be challenged.
Well, I know that in a lot of places, if the cops break up a party where there's alcohol, they may not arrest every kid because they know that their parents will discipline them or the school may suspend them. But will this ruling mean that cops are going to crack down since schools may not be allowed to?
I think it's possible. I think a lot of this is fueled by two competing anxieties. There's the anxiety in the community and among school officials that parents aren't doing enough to discipline their kids. And then there's the anxiety among parents that gets to what the caller, two callers ago said. You know, I don't think parents are arguing so much this is a privilege that my kid deserves so much as you're hurting my kid's chances of going to a good college. And there is so much anxiety about whether their kid is going to get into college and they need these extracurricular activities. So there are there's a lot of anxiety out there. And this ruling and these issues really like gets at the heart of so many of them.
Well, we'll go out with a comment on our Facebook page by Anthony, and this could start a whole other conversation, but he's got an elegant solution. He says, this is why the drinking age should go back to 18.
That's certainly one way of
approaching
it.
Of course, these weren't college students. These were high school students. So even if it went back to 18, this would still be in play. But Nancy Solomon, New Jersey Public Radio Managing Editor, thanks a lot.
Thanks, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Up next, we conclude our July series on air conditioning.